the first part of September. It's been a year since I've been here, been doing what I'm doing with Accenture. And I'm really quite, concerned about the job that I am. So I've gotten a couple of, you get the occasional headhunter that's kind of poking around at old stuff. So I decide to go ahead and turn my profile back on so that I can see what other opportunities are out there. And I almost immediately got hit up. I think this one's kind of an AI prompting doodad, and it's kind of, I don't know, it smells kind of scamish, but hearkening back to my original change about 12 years ago, where I said, you know, I'm not going to just reject potential opportunities. I'm going to see what they present. So it's an interesting idea. You know, and everybody, and I would imagine if I talked to anybody about this, besides Lisa, who's just trying to live with me, it'd be like, you're insane. You make really good money. You should just sit pat and wait out 4 more years of doing stuff. But if anybody knows anything about me now, money does not really end up being the decision maker. If it's anything else, it's the excuse I give for why I leave positions is because I get offered a better paying one. So, I'm not sure I'm the kind of guy that tells people what they want to hear. I tell people what I think is most calculated to satisfy them enough that they'll leave me alone. You know, people always want to have feedback and reasons for what you're doing. And I don't tend to say, I just got this feeling, you know, or I feel like something akin to the spirit is calling out to me. I need to do something else or whatever. So right now it's like I've got a job that doesn't engage me very much at all. It's mostly if somebody has to fill this role to meet contractual obligations. Almost anybody could do it. Is it more money than I've ever made before? Yes. Which is sad and pathetic because it's like, oh my gosh, I must be batting way under my abilities if I've got this sort of thing, and it's mostly my abilities to be in secure compartment facilities, SCIFs. And that doesn't constitute some skill. That actually just constitutes I've been opened up to a lot of things. Now, I don't want to be, you know, am I grateful for my job? And you go, well, let me tell you, my bank account's really grateful for it. And I'm really, you know, things are really pretty good. I'm being able to throw a lot of money into investments. And they're doing quite well at the moment. Now, there's no telling when that's going to stop happening. So we'll kind of see what comes of these situations. Maybe I'm coming to the realization that there are just a lot of just kind of silly jobs. I got this job because it's getting difficult to find somebody to fill the role when we were working, you know. It was hard to get somebody to come to Clovis. A lot of people just said, no, I'm not going to come to Clovis, which is interesting. The people who had people, anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't know what the Lord has in store for me, particularly at this point. When I get the little urge to start looking around, I don't dismiss it and ignore it and say, I'm making enough money. Or, you know, I'll tell you, anybody else would take this job, smile, and go, oh, this is wonderful. I'm so happy for this job. And it's almost like, you know, I could do something else, and this job can be opened up to someone who this is a better job for. I found myself this morning reading articles, and can I be honest, kind of, at least to my mind, which I'm sure I don't fully understand anything, is what I consider to be general authority boss. I've been working a lot on something that I call my Aaron thoughts. I put it in my Google Drive. I should probably move it over to my wiki to make it a little more accessible to myself. It's about changes that I would make to the Aaronic priesthood. Now, since I'm a literal descendant of Aaron, I am part of a group who could fill the role of the presiding bishop. It would be a rather interesting thing. Right now, I'm very frustrated at church because what little responsibility I have, I'm basically ignored. And I fill no particular purpose. To be honest, I think most people at church, especially those in leadership, would just as soon I shut up and just do what I'm told, take action items, you know, and the Sunday school president has traditionally been kind of a weird fill-in job that has no real purpose. You would make somebody that thing, and if they did nothing with it, you'd be okay. I mean, the bishopric calls gospel doctrine teachers, and I got smacked with that. The branch presidency leading into the bishopric has been very, very much about that I don't have a stewardship. But they'll take care of whatever needs to be done, and my contribution to it is absolutely nothing. I might as well, you know, I said, you know, I understand. And I'm not really sure if I want to get into it with them. I vacillate between just saying, please release me. Says I, you know, this is a dumb calling. Says it's just a title with a thing only. The ward council doesn't, I am a non-entity, unneeded. The only reason why people liked me in that calling was because I gave branch presidencies and bishoprics something to crow about. And you go, you can get somebody else to do it. Don't give me a title and then give me nothing that it needs. Says, call one of your gospel doctrine teachers to be the Sunday school president and go on with your life, because you guys just want to do gospel doctrine. You guys do not want to do anything else. So I've been vacillating between getting angry. The problem is this new bishopric is new. They don't know a dang thing. And they just think that it's nothing, because it's always traditionally been nothing. Either there wasn't a Sunday school president, or the Sunday school president they have was just a nobody. You know, you would give it to somebody who just needed a calling and you couldn't think of anything better to do, and it just kept them out of the loop. And you go, yeah. And in trying to do my calling, honestly, I give the bishopric more headaches and problems to deal with than actually saying, you know what? I said, why don't you just treat it like what you do with most of the, with every other organization, which is, you let them decide who they would like to have, rubber stamp it, everything's great, and you go on. So, I don't know what to do. I really wish another calling would come along. I don't know what it is. I'm a bizarre person that I think only that the Lord can put up with. Made more obvious by the fact that I'm not ever given any decent responsibility. I've been doing the responsibility I do here for a while. I've been smacked in the head enough times where it's like, you know what? I said, I'm just tired. So yeah, yesterday I spent a good amount of time adding some things to my presiding bishop file. I used to have a bishop and a branch president, or a branch president and a stake president file. But you've got to, but everybody knows that. Rarely does an elder get considered for anything serious. And they always go through the group of high priests, and based on the group of high priests, they make their decision about things. So I think I've been basically passed up for most things, and I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to have silly callings like being the Sunday school president. And I'm sorry, I've got enough integrity about me that I'll try to continue to do something about it. But, so anyway, yeah. And I got up this morning thinking about the situation. USAID has been downsized, pretty much gotten rid of. And that creates some holes in certain situations. A lot of organizations depended upon funds from USAID, technical support, stuff like that. One of them is, the article was talking about, HIV children, you know, the children of people that have HIV and die from it in Africa, because HIV is just rampant. I don't know if it's directly tied with hemophilia or it's directly tied with just a basic inability to have sex. You know, they're always having sex all the time. And this is causes circumstances. The basic program, there was kind of an orphanage that took in the children of these HIV people. Of course, they've got HIV too, because, you know, when you pass through the birth canal, that's one of the primo places to get to get HIV and or AIDS or whatever else you want to do it. You know, everybody used to play games with this. Regardless, that they were saying that corporations needed to step up. And I think this was an article predominantly written by some kind of organization that's actually what they want to see, is a big company like Coca-Cola who has a lot of Coca-Cola drinkers or product users in Africa, and how that keeping these kids alive is a good thing for a future bottom line. They will be the consumers of the future. They will be the workers of the future. They will be working for places like Coca-Cola. Certainly the consumers of Coca-Cola products. This is like the old thing where Henry Ford wanted to keep the price of like the Model T and the Model A at a place at a time so that his factory workers could spend their money, and he wanted to pay them good enough money so they would turn around and buy a Model T or a Model A. He looked at it as a cyclical thing. And so I think this whatever organization prompted the article that I was reading was wanting corporations to come in and take advantage of this, primarily because these guys could be tapped as future consumers. You know, get them hooked on Coca-Cola as their favorite drink, and they would buy tons of Coca-Cola all the time. This is which I think is kind of funny, because I think the times demand something a little harder. You know, that might be something a little bit that might be some kind of weird business model that an alcohol distributor would definitely want to get involved in. Number one, it's a much more addictive product, although sugar is excellent. You know, not that Coca-Cola is bad from that kind of a standpoint, but other products would probably work better. Things that all those people must have. You know, I don't drink Coke, so I'm kind of out of that supply chain. Anyway, so I was thinking about it that way, and then I was thinking, well, what you can look at it as quasi-satanic, you know, that this is definitely something Satan wants to do. Or you can look at it as this is a potential way to help God's children, where the Lord looks at it. And he would probably be willing to use a partner like a Coca-Cola or something like that to help these children along. Of course, the sick thought of children who die before they're 8 years old go to the celestial kingdom. And you go, wait a minute, you know, we might not be doing them a big favor by doing that. Anyway, regardless, one way or the other, I'm sure the brother would go, you are sick and twisted, Nemro. You go, you know what? I'm sure there's plenty of people who say that of the Lord, too. One has to put mortality into its proper frame. We're here to create bodies so people can come to Earth. I don't know where abortion fits into that. We're not going to be supportive of it just by nature. But it's like when a child is aborted, does that qualify in a sick sort of way? That they have served immortality and they can simply pass forward without having to go through the vicissitudes of life, whether good or bad. It kind of makes the whole thing up. At what point does the earth get bad enough that abortion is preferable to earth life outside of the womb? I don't know. So anyway, so then these are the level of thoughts that I don't mean stuff about abortion, unborn babies, and letting children die in HIV orphanages in Africa, that we don't make those calls particularly. But, you know, saying we need to develop partnerships with potential organizations or organizations that have said, you know what, we get involved with this because for the future. And you go, you guys are on the ground, you guys are doing that, you have a distribution system. We would like to partner with you to tap into that, to be able to get in on the ground better in these circumstances, in these situations, to help out these kids. And to me, that constitutes kind of a presiding bishop, general authority sort of thought. Says, how could we find synergy? That's really kind of a bizarre word that I don't like half the time. But if it's there, it's there. If this provides an opportunity to reach a certain group of people that you can't do otherwise, it's like, okay, what difficult situations are happening in, say, Russia, for instance, or China, that normal groups can't seem to handle, but would give us an in with the Chinese government if we were able to find a synergetic situation, we help them with their problem, so then we get good interface with China, enough that they will feel good about us. Being partners. That's the kind of thing that these people consider. Now, I'm not some kind of wonderful diplomat. I don't have training that way. I'm kind of an organic research and systems guy to try and put things into a good place. But I'm certainly not in a position to be noticed that way. You can't expect any kind of leadership to do this. I feel like in my church calling, and also in the work that I do in my employment, that I'm just kind of a bat boy for a place that didn't have a bat boy for a while or something like that. And they're just glad that you're doing a bat boy job. And of course they stroke you and they say, oh, isn't that wonderful, because they want to keep you doing it. You know, a couple of strokes should keep him satisfied doing what needs to be done. And to be honest, I'm not really all that interested in it. So it's almost tempting, and I might do it because I don't think there's any, you know, they'll say, well, it's not your stewardship. You're not supposed to be, you know, it's not your job. And you go, you know what? I'm getting really tired of being told what I shouldn't be doing or what I shouldn't be concerned about and what I shouldn't express something to have a voice. It's just because, trust me, being a dutiful little foot soldier has done me only, you know, whatever. I guess I'm being blessed. I guess the Lord knows who I am, but he's not telling anybody else about it, particularly that I'm aware of. I was the jerk at Mesalands that said what came to me about what needed to happen. And I tried to be a good, decent team player, and boy, let me tell you, as soon as it got out what I felt impelled to say and what I felt impelled to do, it was obvious that I was off the team. I was not wanted. I get that a lot. And I don't know, because I'm quasi-handicapped in some venues, that I don't want to say the Lord has nothing to do with me and just wants me to stay out of the way, not make waves, not make problems. Or if what I've been told before is that I'm being motivated by the wrong spirit. And you go, well, then why? I guess I shouldn't be a member of this church then, because I've got the wrong spirit and I need to be shuffled off the side and ignored. And lift where you stand and things like that are just kind of a cruel slap in the face. on some level. And that perhaps I'm not being grateful enough for what I've been given. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not starved for money right now. We're predominantly living off of my pension that I'm already taking. It's not quite enough. But if we downsize and did what just lived lean, I could just do nothing. So I constantly get that whole thing that, you know, at the end of the day, I am neither wanted nor needed. I talked about in council meetings the whole thing about I wanted to make sure that Julian Flores, his young man who's put his missionary paperwork, we're waiting for the feedback to see where he's going to be going on his mission. And my big push was, hey, you know, I've got funds. You don't, if it's a question of money, it's not. I said, don't let a lack of funds stop you from doing this. I'm going to go ahead and say, I could easily pay for your mission. Or any number of us. I didn't want to appear cocky. I didn't want to make other people feel bad. But then all of a sudden, I guess, the bishop's family, ranchers, an uncle of his, basically pretty much said, is there anybody in your ward that he's going to mission? I've got a lot of money. And it's like, you know what? They don't need me. They've already got somebody who's willing to throw whatever money's necessary. I don't even need to get involved. I don't need to be a part of it. Because in our little ward, I'm not needed. And it is. It's like, Father, why am I even here? I've got a stupid calling that nobody cares, boo-hoo, if I do it or not, except that they're able to tell leadership up the chain, well, we're doing teacher councils. And you're going, teacher councils that fall on deaf ears. I said, all of our Sunday school teachers, they want to be gospel doctrine teachers. And I can't convince them on any level that they need to be doing stuff. I've tried to get those people replaced in other ways. And I've been thwarted by the bishopric. So, anyway, my job really doesn't want or need me. Anybody with a clearance could basically do the stand-in job. And I'm constantly saddled with this. And I need to take it to the Lord more stridently. To say, help me, Father. There's no point threatening. This is, am I going to do what I'm asked to do? Yes. Am I going to continue to do it even though the leadership could give less than a care, it seems. And you go, yes, I'm going to continue to do what I'm supposed to be doing in this calling where nobody really wants me to do any of it. No, I need to move on. Because I do. It's just, the way I usually handle this is I just go someplace else. that what I need to do, Father? Sink all this money into crappy house that makes my wife unhappy. And anytime I try to bring up other possibilities, other opportunities, you know, I try to get through the whole lease up offer, and she says, no, don't do that. And it's like, why not? So I don't know. I just don't. I feel like everything that I do is just a complete waste. Waste of time and effort. I don't think changing calls is anything interesting. I'm going to throw myself out there a little bit more. Maybe something else will come. And that's really all I have to talk about. It's kind of, you know, just kind of existentially depressed.